you are listening to the Footy Mailbag Podcast with Damo and Clara.
Hello and welcome to the Footy Mailbag. It is Anzac Day and we are live right before the clash between the Bombers and Magpies. My name is Damo and welcome to the show. Joining me as usual is Clarky, and Mick, or Big Horse from the Insight Fantasy Sports Network, is back to help us out on this live podcast recording. Thanks for being here, Clarky, and thanks for coming back to the potty, Mick.
It's great. We won. Melbourne won last night, so I don't feel bad about football this weekend.
And for Essendon, we haven't played finals in 20 years, so this is about as close as we get to packing out the MCG.
That's fair.
It's going to be a big day for the Bombers to see how they size up against the Magpies. So how this is going to work today is we're going to speak as if we are recording usually, but please continue to engage in the chat, because when question time comes, we will not only start answering questions submitted during the week, but also the ones coming through the chat as well. So, I mean, to start off things, we should probably talk about last night. So, Melbourne, Clarky, you want to talk about your D's last night? After a slow start, they eventually piled on the goals and got a fairly healthy win.
Look, it was a bad game. I don't think anyone can look at that game and go, this was a very fun, clean game to watch. It was very much neck and neck in terms of effort, I think, from Richmond and Melbourne for a lot of the game. And then, thankfully, Disco Turner, who would have thought? We'll probably talk about him at some point, but a 192k defender playing as a forward, and he's just got a really nice big body, broke open, kicked his first AFL goal in this game, and then kicked two more after that. And I love that. That was very nice for me. So, look, happy to get a win, but we kind of... It was a very good arm wrestle, I think, for a lot of it, but it wasn't a great game of football, objectively.
Mick, from a football's perspective, how did you see it? Did we learn anything from Richmond or Melbourne, or was it pretty much the way we expected?
Yeah, to be expected. The first half was a bit of a surprise, but Melbourne were a bit lethargic coming out after the bye. They didn't have their usual run and carry, which allowed Richmond just to stay within arm's reach, and even Grimes having shots on goal. You don't see that every day. Yeah. But then Melbourne come out after halftime. They got their game plan together. Their run and carry was really good. Disco Turner was the beneficiary of their run and carry, and their forwards probably, Richmond's backs playing a little bit off the Melbourne forwards, but all in all, to be expected.
So let's talk about the key players from the game, and we'll start with the winners. So Max Gawn produced a massive 162, and he was quite popular with the VC, and a lot of people would have locked that in. And if you haven't yet, what are you doing? Stephen May produced 116. He's 400k in the back line. I saw a couple of people jump on him as a cut price option, so he would have rewarded them. Daniel Turner produced a 101, 192k rookie in defense that we might look at in a couple of weeks' time, but who knows if he can back it up. Petrarca was pretty quiet to start the game, but ended with a 93, which would have been okay for people who own him, but wouldn't have been the return that people expected, especially against Richmond. Blake Howes rewarded owners or people who have held on to him with an 87. Oliver, we don't know what he's going to end up doing this year, but he ended with an 82.
I'd like to say, just on Oliver, while we're covering it, this is going to sound really sort of one-eyed, but I think he is currently being a little bit hard done by the Supercoach scoring system, because his stats aren't necessarily horrendous. 22 disposals at 77% efficiency isn't horrible. And I've definitely seen players with less go for more. I think it's maybe the fact that he does rely a lot on his handball game and clearance, but they weren't necessarily effective last night. So I think there's still light at the end of the tunnel that he might come good towards the back end of the season, but definitely keep an eye on him for next year. I think we're just sort of seeing him work his way back into it. And let's be honest, it's good to see him playing football. That's nice for everyone.
I'm with you, Clarky. He struggled in the weeks leading up to their bye with that hand injury. And we saw that straight after their last game prior to the bye, he went in and had some hand surgery. He already looked a little bit more assured by hand last night. And while he only scored, 82? That was probably the best he'd looked all year for me.
Yeah.
And we have to remember, he barely had a preseason with the team. So as the year goes on, maybe even post Melbourne's mid-season bye, he might actually be someone that we can look at trading in if he has a couple 105s before they break off in the middle of the season. So he's someone that we might be able to jump on really cheap in the middle of the season there. Caleb Windsor, for people who still have him, he produced a 69 despite being subbed. So that would have been an okay return for people still with him.
He and made then 3 points after he got subbed as well. So I was watching, he was on 66 when he got subbed for Laurie and then managed to finish on a 69. So really good, I think, if you just held him that one extra week because he had other problems.
He was pretty fortunate to get that 69. He butchered a couple of balls going inside 50 that led to direct turnovers that led to Richmond goals.
I know exactly the one that you're talking about.
And, yep. It was horrendous.
Then I was screaming.
Yeah.
And then a cheapie that kind of went under the radar, Tajwo Woden, finished on 57. He was 132K to enter this round. So he was an option that people could have looked at earlier in the week if they wanted someone from this game. If we cross over to Richmond, Nick Vlosten ended on a 95. People are watching him closely with how he's been going in defence. Daniel Rioli finished with an 86, another one that people are keeping a close eye on. Jacob Hopper finished on a 63, Shai Bolton on a 67. Hopper is significant because he actually got injured, so we might see Kane McAuliffe return.
Yeah. That was so tragic for Hopper as well, and he looked pissed. Like, he tried so hard to play through it for, probably about 2 minutes or so.
Yeah, he did.
And, and that was pure. I've never seen a more exact definition of the term denial demonstrated visually.
When he attended that centre bounce right after the trainers went to him, he actually looked like he had his burst still. So obviously he didn't think it was that bad. And then he just couldn't chase after, I can't remember who he was chasing, but he just stopped his chase because his hamstring just stopped him. Like he was really trying to fight through it, but in the end it got the better of him. Hopefully it's not as bad for him as a player, but for us as super coaches, it does help the people who jumped on McAuliffe during his bye week to assist with trades then. Mikelty Lefau finished on a 63, which owners would have been happy with that, I think. And I think some will actually try and get that score on field if it wasn't already. Apart from that, not a huge amount of relevance left for the other players.
Mikelty looks great, by the way, just outside of Supercoach, if we're going to chat. He, the last couple of weeks, has really shown his athleticism and his just hunger to be a solid forward. And I absolutely love watching him play.
Did you see the stats last night where they were using him as a forward ruck? He played, I think he was second behind Dusty as the deepest forward, but he'd also run the most or track the most amount of kilometres so far in the game.
That's huge.
That's phenomenal.
He's awesome.
Yeah. Midway through the third quarter, they showed the Telstra tracker and he was on 11.4 kilometers throughout the game above Ed Langdon. So if you're running more than Ed Langdon, it just shows how big your tank is.
I don't know, I have feelings about Ed Langdon, but we'll move on.
we will move on. Ivan Soldo has had a knee arthroscopy surgery, so Jordan Sweet will be Port's leading ruck for the next 4 to 5 weeks, as reported by Matt Turner. He is someone that we could genuinely look at as a downgrade option, but it would probably mean for a lot of people putting Cohen Livingston in their F8 position, which is a risky move given how the forward line is going and how rookies seem to be dropping off like flies at the moment.
Yeah, I'm all for it though. I think no one ever won Supercoach by being safe. So you slap your Sweet into your rucks, your Livingston forward, We saw with Darcy after his arthroscopy, he was out 6 weeks. They say 4 to 5. I'm anticipating 6 weeks. So Port Adelaide after their bye, I reckon that's when we'll see Soldo again.
Yeah, and sweep in your R3 position. Even if you don't have him on field, he's just sitting there making money for you, and you can get rid of him at Port's bye for someone coming off the round 12 bye the week earlier, and then you sweep for the rest of the bye rounds with an extra player to score for you along that tricky stretch there. So definitely someone you don't want to miss out on, because we've seen in years go by with Riley O'Brien when he had the role at the Crows for the first time, and then Mark Pitney during the COVID years. Those two guys ballooned out to 450K at their highest price, and getting a rookie that can go to that kind of price with scores in that role is definitely something that you shouldn't let just pass by you. Rookies on the bubble this week, though, we've got Hugo Garcia, 117K mid forward at the Saints, James Tunstall at Brisbane, Biggie Nguyen at North, Toby Conway at Geelong, Will Hamill at Adelaide, and Blake Jury at North as well. Which of these guys would you be jumping on? I think the most popular option is Hugo Garcia, but outside of him, who are the other options that you could possibly go for?
It's a tough call. I probably would be avoiding Biggie just because, and, you know, Horse, we spoke about it on the podcast, he will most likely be the first one out when Callan Dawson comes back, which is not that far away. But even then, I just don't think... I don't think the matchups and the role is necessarily as friendly as we want it to be for him. So even Drury, I kind of like a bit better just because he's had a few games that have spiked him. So I think long-term, maybe Drury is the one that we want to be looking at from North, if any.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. If it's out of those two, it's Drury. But from a footballing point of view, last week, we saw that Drury kept filling the hole in front of Larky, and that burnt him. That pretty much meant that Hawthorne could just play off Larky because North was sitting the ball on his head with the likes of Drury filling the space in front of him. So when we're talking Biggie, he's 100% the first one out. He was ordinary last week. What did he score? 43 or 44, whatever it was. You got Dawson to come in. You've got Logue, who's not that far away from coming back as well. And then, like, I prefer, and to unpopular opinion, I prefer Core over Biggie. I think you got more accountability there.
Yeah. I can see that. Damo, what about you?
Yeah, so Hugo Garcia is the best option, as 100%. I said earlier. But I think out of the other guys, it's Blake Jury and I've seen people going early on the likes of a Riley Garcia, so they'll get in the two Garcia boys. But I'm not going early on anyone at the Dogs.
You can't trust Bevo.
Yeah, with the way Bevo's going. I would wait to make sure that Garcia is selected for at least his third game.
One that's not on the bubble, Damo, that I'll ask you about, and that's Carl Warner. Any word over there on how he's going and how likely he is to return?
So Heath Chapman is returning this week, so I think that kind of fills that role that he had. Okay. But he did have a great game for Peel last week, so I think he's not far away if they need to make a change somewhere along the lines, because he can play further up the field as well. It's just a matter of who he replaces and who he comes in for. Brandon Walker might need a rest because he was pretty much straight into the senior side off his knee issue from last year. So there might be a chance that Warner comes in for a couple of games at a time just to give a few players rests. But yeah, I don't think he's coming in as soon as this week, and I don't think he's someone that we can jump on just yet.
Gotcha.
Who are the premiums to target this week? So I've got Sam Walsh written down. He's 579K.
That was my answer.
He started his season off with a 166 and a 130. He seems to be the most popular option. The other guys that people are looking at is Jordan Dawson once. Now that he looks to have returned to form, we'll talk about if he's back or not in just a second. Dan Houston is under 600K, still basically at the same price that he was to begin the season. And Jack McRae is at 480K, which is another hot button topic throughout the week. Do you trust him? Has Bevo got his trust back in him? It's just a whole lot of trust that you need to make that selection. So we'll start with Jordan Dawson. Is he back? Is he someone that we can pick up at this 500 and at this mid 500 sort of price? Someone who, you know, could be on the bounce back.
Not this week.
I'm with Clarkey. You just can't. And we did some digging on Jordan Dawson. He averages roughly 15 points less per game with Crouch in the side. So as soon as I see Crouch, it's a big no for me.
Yeah, I think we need to know what the team looks like and how the roles pan back through when Crouch is back. It was only a week, right? And we know that Dawson is this good. But I think the lack of faith that we have is more in Matthew Nix rather than it is in Jordan Dawson himself, right?
Something is not right there when you see Rory Laird for the first time in, 5 years, going two games in a row under 100. He's just not known for that. And he looks a lot out of touch. And for someone as classy as him, I feel like, as a footy enthusiast, that there's something going on behind the four walls at Adelaide.
Yeah, and another player that we're not sure if we can trust yet is Jack McRae. 480K is a nice price for someone with his history, but he's also got a coach that doesn't seem to want to keep him on the magnet board. So that's where the issue rises, and he could be the sub again this week against Freo. We just don't know. Bevo says he's gone and he's worked on the things that he wanted him to work on, and he's back in the mix. But when you've got guys like Riley Sanders starting as the sub because of the way that the mix is and for team balance, who's to say that Jack McRae might not be that the odd one out next week or in a couple of weeks' time?
Spot on. And last year he did score 200s at the back end of the year in his last 9 games. They weren't big hundreds. I think it was 107 and 122, but averaged just over 85 at the back end of last year. So if you're looking to pay up for a premium, recent history would suggest to look elsewhere.
I think if we're looking for premiums to target, these are the weeks to start sort of looking at the Zach Merritts, the Butters. These are the big guys that you really miss. We're kind of past the window of value, right? Like Sam Walsh is kind of alone in this category where he didn't start the season. He's come back. We've had a few good looks at him, and it's kind of like if he had played round 0 through 2, you know, you probably should be looking at setting your team up so that you can bring in these big guns in lieu of sort of compromising your buy structure, right? Because Zach Merritt's probably not going to get any cheaper the way that his season's going. Zach Butters is not going to get any cheaper the way his season's going. Marcus Bontempelli is at 646, and that's probably as cheap as I think we could probably find him, right? We talk about the unattainable. Luke Ryan having a cold one, but having a good season. Matt Rowell is now, 640? Like, the ship is out. So you're looking at these guys now at the top ends of the price bracket. So making sure that your economy is correct, but making sure that you can bring in these big hitters is probably the key. So don't be trying to do something sort of quirky to hit a value spot when it's not there. If you can't reach those guys, then make a plan and work towards it, because compromising yourself to make that happen is going to be difficult in the long run.
Damo, what are your thoughts on Walsh? Do you think he's top 6 eligible this year for mids or top 8?
I don't know if top 6 or 8, but I think he's going to be in that sort of echelon of mids where next year there's only like a couple of points on average, because can't use total points now because he's missed games. But if we sorted by average next year, he's probably in that top 15, top 12 sort of mid sort of thing for average. And so that's why I'm happy to jump on him, because even though 20 points might be all that separates first and 50th at the moment, you want players who have a huge ceiling like Sam Walsh does 100%. in your team.
I've got some quick numbers for you, mate. So the last 2 games at the G, he's tunned up, which were the 2 finals that they had there last year. His last 5 games that he's played, 111, 134, 121, 166, and 130. His CBAs, yes, I know Chera's not in the team, but his CBAs are up to 77% now. They were at 53% last year. So without Chera, I believe that this affects your Hewitts and your Kennedys more than what it affects Walsh. And I think Voss is really going with him being, and I can't think of anyone off the top of my head, but he's the premier outside mid that Carlton have this year, and they're looking to get the ball in his hands a lot more.
Yeah, he looks really impressive, and I know there's that back issue that might, you know, be in the back of people's minds, but I think for now, while he's fit, you got to jump on him and hope that he can at least last until Carlton's bye, and then at that, and then if he, and then you might, and then he might get injured. He might get injured again, and that's life. That's Super Coach. But if he can at least hold on until Carlton's bye, hopefully you hold him for the whole year. But until the bye, at the very least, is what people would be aiming for, bringing him in now.
We've actually got the beautiful Chris from Supercoach Insider. Go check those lads out. He actually has just mentioned Walsh's other numbers, which is missing 9 out of 22 games with a back injury, which he's still managing. So look, it is a concern, right? And we've said this before. If you're not comfortable with someone's injury history, or, you know, you're not feeling it, then don't make the move, right? You shouldn't make moves that put yourself in compromising positions where you feel like you're going to panic at some point at the first sign of a rough time. Mm-hmm. It's sort of part of the long-term game, right? And you go, right, I bring in Walsh with the acceptance that, look, he's managing an injury. At this point, he could make a bit of money before he even does get injured, but we'll see how that happens. And, you know, you just kind of, you need to play it to your own tune, right? Like, if you can't accept that, then don't bring Walsh in. But at his price, he's primo position to sort of, look, you go in, and if he dies, he dies, right? Like, it's just, it is how it be.
Mm-hmm. And I'm finding this season especially, you got to strike while the iron's hot with a lot of these players, because this season is probably unlike any other that I've played before, where people are being aggressive. The high scorers are scoring higher than ever. The low scorers are scoring lower than ever. Like, there is now like a clear gulf between the best and the worst in Supercoach. And you just got to jump on these players while they're scoring the way that they are. And Sam Walsh is under 600K and probably won't be there until for a while now. And at his price, he's kind of hard to ignore, especially while he is fit. And yes, Carlton are managing his injury, but speaking to people who know people inside of Carlton, they're saying that his injury history, as far as they're concerned, is the least of their worries out of all the guys that are currently managing injuries. So that isn't confidence enough for me to pick him at this moment. All right, we will get to the questions submitted during the week. So just remember, when we talk about some players, we may, but not always, give them a green, yellow, or red rating. Green indicates a good pick. Yellow is a watch or a hold, and red is a trade or a void. These make up our traffic lights. A player could earn their rating for several reasons, including but not limited to scoring potential, job security, price point, reliability, or injury status. Our updated traffic lights will go live on our social media accounts tomorrow once the Sunday teams are confirmed. So the first question comes from Wayne. He wants to know, with the Tom Stewart news, do you trade him?
Shout out to in our YouTube chat as well, Likma. I won't say your whole name. You ain't getting me that way, son. But also asking about Tom Stewart. And thank you, Wayne and Likma, for your question. I think he's a hold, right?
He's just in concussion protocols, as far as I'm aware. So yeah. I think you hold him. But one week. I think the question I've been getting during the week from other people around this is, what if your bench is barren in defense, where you have nothing to cover him?
I can answer that, because that's exactly how I am at the moment.
Yeah. Okay.
Please speak from experience.
So I'm speaking from experience and what I've had to do this week. So I've probably played a little bit safe this year, and probably a little bit to my detriment, as given by my, I think I'm 15K at the moment overall, but I've traded him this week purely for two reasons. One, it allows me to get Dan Houston in this week, which is a top six keeper. 2, he's out this week, and then he's got a break even of 140. If he's scored that much this year, he may have scored that once. He's going to drop in coin the next 1, maybe 2 weeks, and then I can pick him up again, and I've bought in Houston for it. So the extra trades that we've been given this year has allowed me to probably play a little bit more aggressively on this. If it was still the old 30 trades or 28 trades that we had, I would have kept him. But given that we've got the 40 trades this year, it allows me to be a little more aggressive.
Okay. I like that. That's a reasonable plan to sort of work around it. It's hard to really break that cycle, isn't it? Where we've spent, and you know, we're all three of us are probably guilty of it, being content creators. And like, you don't trade primos unless you absolutely have to.
Yeah.
Historically, a 1 week concussion protocol wouldn't have been a reason to hold, but the bench cover in defense at the moment is diabolical, especially as well with the news of like Zach Williams isn't in this week. You know, people holding Marty Hoare probably would have been hoping that he would have been back this week. Yeah, I still know some people who still have Toby Pink dusting up on the pine. So I can see a world where it makes sense in a roundabout way. So
yeah,
it's probably a good time to get, like you said, a Houston. I started with Houston, actually, and it's weird because I'm the happiest with him out of all of my starting picks, even though he hasn't really changed in value. He's just been consistent, right?
Consistent, yeah.
Yeah. And that feels nice. So it probably is a week where I can see a world. If you haven't been like shooting from the hip with trades, then this is probably a week where you can do that. If you're worried about your trade capital and how much you've been using, probably just cop the hit for 1 week, right? It's a long game. And Tom Stewart is another player who we just know he's got the role, he's got the ability, he's got the ceiling. Damo, would you be trading Tom Stewart?
If I had him and I had no bench cover, I can certainly see why you would. But as long as you've got cover, even if that cover is just Josh Draper or someone along those lines, I probably would hold just for 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
Next question comes from Matthew M. He wants to know, can we trust Sam Walsh? Well, we've gone through that. And the answer is, I can. Some others can't. It really comes down to your personal preference. Rewind about 10 minutes and you'll hear that discussion there.
Probably a little bit more on that demo as well. He was ready to go round 3, but Carlton held him off and gave him another 2-week block to make sure that he was absolutely right before he started the year.
Yeah, and I think just one last for my opinion. I would have started Sam Walsh, even knowing his injury history, if he was named in opening round. Mm-hmm. I would have had him in my original draft of my team. So that was enough for me to have the back-to-back scores. And to be honest, I was quite upset that I lost a league match by about 20 points because of Sam Walsh last week. They brought him in and I didn't.
Yeah, Sam Walsh would have been in my starting team had he been fit as well. So I trust him. It sounds like a lot of other people do as well. So it's really up to you and your team structure if you want to bring him in or not. Next question comes from our friend Lekdog. He wants to know, why is Laird not Lairding? And I think the answer is Matthew Nix.
Yeah, 100%. Not growing.
Yep. I think they need to forego the Matthew Crouch idea. As much as he is rewarding those that picked him in Supercoach, from a footballing point of view, he adds nothing to the Adelaide midfield. He goes at, 3 or 4 metres per possession at times. You need to be attacking in today's day and age, and getting the footy is not enough anymore. You need to be able to go both ways with the ball, take risks by foot. I call him the slug, Saligo or Saligo, however you pronounce his name. He adds another element to Adelaide's midfield that they've been missing. And they need to continue to run with him and Laird and Dawson. That's their probably the most dangerous looking midfield moving forward.
Can we just pause for a second? Why slug? It sounds like such a drive-by when you're like, oh, I like him though.
Yeah, no, it's a slug. Saligo, the slug.
You know what? That's fine.
just on a side note, I've got Saligo in a keeper league and I'm loving this season from him. Yeah. I'm not letting him go anytime soon in that keeper league. Next question comes from Major Van Bam. He wants to know, is Caldwell real? The player is real, but yeah, is he a real super coach option? Mick, you're the Essendon fan. Does his role look solid?
I hope so. As an Essendon supporter, I like him. I like Durham. I like Merritt. I like their midfield mix at the moment. I love the fact that Scott's foregoing seeing Parrish get 3,000 disposals and doing nothing with it because it's making us look more dangerous. Caldwell is elite when we're talking pressure acts and his tackling pressure. That's where he's getting the majority of his points. And the last 3 weeks, I believe he's averaging 104. I'll have to double check that. But as a 479K mid forward, at the moment, it's a yes, but I want to see it a little bit more before I commit to picking him up.
Yeah, so currently has a 3-round average of 103.7 with a 129, 83, and a 99 in his last three games. Mm-hmm. Averaging 91.5 for the year and 479K. So his price will go up by about 20K because he's only got a break even of 62, but I still think that he will be a good option if he can hold on to his role and his scoring going forward. Next question comes from Ro, which Garcia is muy bueno, which is very good. I think Hugo is the one to go for this week, and then you wait and see if Riley holds on for a third game.
Yes. Riley Garcia, muy mal. Mm-hmm. Hugo Garcia, muy bueno.
Next question comes from Matt. How do we rate the job security of the Garcia boys? So let's start with Hugo. Plucked out of obscurity in the first of all to be selected in the draft, and then really moved his way up the pecking order to get games during the preseason, and now has a debut after tackling, 60 times across, three games in the VFL. So I think Ross Lyon loves this kid, and he could be in for the long haul.
Stocks are up on this kid. Yep, 100%.
As for Riley Garcia, I'm not sure. I feel like we did an Inside Out movie just for the inside of Bevo's head.
My God, we have said it to death. Nobody has job security, not even Bont. Just, this is the world we live in.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately.
Next question. Who are the trade out options this week? So who could we trade out? So Ollie Dempsey is at 306K with a break even of 66. Only had two scores above that in his last five games. So he is someone who's probably run his race potentially. Jack Carroll has a break even of 81, 233K. Zach Williams, 327K with a break even of 62. Riley Sanders, 294K with a break even of 101. Jeremy Sharp, 337K with a break even of 72. And Colby McKercher, 252K with a break even of 104. And a bit of a curveball. With Sam Darcy only has a break even of 32, but with Rory Lobb in the side, his scoring took a massive hit.
Yes. Hate it.
Yeah.
So I'll those say it are probably again. The Bulldogs suck, guys. I'm not afraid.
Yeah, so those are probably the guys, and I'd say any of those guys paired together. Some people might want to hold Zach Williams if they've got the cover, but the other guys you could probably say goodbye to this week. Next question comes from Con: would you trade Cadman or Darcy this week? I'd personally trade Sam Darcy before Cadman, but I don't see any reason to keep both of them. Cadman's almost at the end of his rope as well.
Yep.
Yeah. That's an easy answer. Yeah. That's
Yeah. You go one or the other. Personally, I'd go for Sam Darcy though.
Cadman's, if you have to choose out of the more, a little bit more over the ground, I think. Sam Darcy is kind of very reliant on being a good forward or getting those opportunities as a forward. Whereas Cadman does kind of move around to create opportunities for the other guys, not in like a weird selfless football way, but just in terms of what they're doing to score is very different. I'd be much more comfortable holding Cadman this week than Darcy.
Oh, absolutely. And considering that Sam Darcy is the backup ruck going up against a Luke Jackson type this week who will dominate him around the ground, it's definitely Darcy this week. Cadman gives a little bit more.
Next question comes from Vinny. D'Ambrosio and Bonner appear to have hit their ceilings. Time to move them on and cash in or keep them in for job security?
Trade Bonner, hold Ambrosio is my green light to trade Bonner.
Well,
red light. Bonner's not bad. He's just, he has that problem where he uses it like shit. Like every time he touches a football feels like the first time he touches the football, like in his life ever. And it's just, it's hard to watch because they're either cheap possessions or they're poor possessions, which means that his ceiling is kind of limited to either he has a miracle game and tons up, or he's probably going to score between like 75 and 90, being generous.
He's just mediocre, but consistently. So, you know, it's all reliant on, I guess, the score of the game at the time and when he gets his touches as to whether it's a 75 or a 95.
Yeah, I traded Bonner this week. I had him. He's made his money and his break-even is literally probably about what he scores.
Yep.
Perfect time to move him on if you've got the cash. I moved him straight to Walsh. Like, it just made sense. Ambrosio had a rough game last week, but also they were playing North. So the role's there. I think if they needed him longer, he probably would have stayed out. His points per minute are pretty on par with what could be considered decent. Like if he played out the full game last week, he probably would have ended on an 85, 90.
And D'Ambrosio also only has a break even of 45, which is well within his reach as long as he stays clear of that sub vest.
Yep.
See.
And last of the questions submitted before the live stream is from Benji. If I boost to get Dawson, Walsh and Garcia in, it does mean I have to let go of Fife, who has been life. Is it worth it?
No.
No.
Yeah, no. I mean,
I would skip Dawson, to be quite honest.
Yep.
Yeah. Fife isn't a keeper in the forward line, but for someone averaging 85 in this year's forward line is pretty good. It's pretty good. And I know we want premiums averaging triple figures, but the forward line outside of four or five options is very, very grim.
It's tire.
Yeah.
And even we saw with Shai Bolton last night, he scored 60s.
Yeah, but he's still probably going to be a top 6 to 8 forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right, chat, your time to shine. Time for your questions.
We've got one on YouTube from Michael Higginson. Hi, guys. Good luck with your teams. Trade Massimo or Bonner. We've kind of covered that. Thinking of trading Williams, Dempsey, Massimo or Bonner, and then trade in Rao, Walsh and Hugo Garcia and using Zach Reed on field to loop Howe's score. Sounds like a pretty good plan to me. I'm really spewing that this was the one time where my brain wasn't like, hey, I could start Rao and that would be fun and nice for everyone. And this is a year he's absolutely popping off. So I think that's a genuinely good trade that seems to improve your team across the ground.
Yeah. I'm a fan of that.
You get a green light, Michael.
Next question comes from Corey. Thoughts on Zorko, McRae, and Garcia for Massimo, Darcy, and Williams? Or he could go Sarong, Sweet, and Garcia for Williams, Sexton, and Cadman. I like the second option better.
Same.
I do like the second option, but as much as I hate the man, Zorko is just getting it done in the forward line, right? And there's something in my lizard brain that just goes, if they're a good forward, probably jump on them now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, both options I actually quite like. I just don't know if I trust McRae that much. So Zorko is not the part of that first one that I don't like. It's the McRae part. Whereas I think with Sarong's and Sweet and Garcia, for Williams, Sexton and Cadman, you're getting Sarong, who's probably going to be a top eight mid, Sweet, who's going to earn you some nice cash, mm-hmm. and Garcia as well, who's going to earn you some nice cash. So it doesn't get you two keepers, but it helps you get there another way further down the track.
Have you guys received any word yet as to whether Lib is playing this week? Because I'm hearing no.
I haven't received a thing. I really have no idea.
Because if Lib is out, that's going to inflate McRae and probably give you a false sense of security. But once Lib comes back, he's not getting that specific role back.
Next question comes from Shannon Hearn. Probably not the Shannon Hearn, but a Shannon Hearn.
Big fan.
Yeah. Sharp to Dan Houston. Yep, lock it in.
Yeah, that's easy.
100%.
And another question from the same person. Do you guys like Merritt or Raoul more?
That's like asking me to pick one of my favorite football children.
Flip a coin. I like them both.
Yeah.
I'd probably go
for Merritt more just because of the run that they've got over the run that Merritt's got over the next 10 weeks. I think he comes up against West Coast twice and North Melbourne twice. Mm-hmm. So I think I'd go for Merritt over Raoul, but flip a coin.
We got Chris, our beautiful Supercoach Insider friend, asking on YouTube, is it worth boosting to get Sweet this week with Garcia and McAuliffe likely next week? Rookies in 2 weeks might be grim. They absolutely will be grim. I'm already feeling the looming shadow of the lack of rookies in my group.
Yeah, to Chris, I was speaking to one of your mates this morning, mate Scotty White from the Redlands. He does pass on his g'days if I was to ever speak to you. So if you're listening in, mate, he says hello. I quite like the Billy Dowling, who's, I believe, playing his first game for Adelaide this week. Not last year, because he didn't play senior footy last year, but the year before he averaged 125 Supercoach points in the TAC Cup in the under-18. So he could be one if he plays off a half a back, one to watch. And also for North Melbourne, Riley Hardiman, left footer, bit smaller, but has a really nice left shoe. He might be one that we're looking to downgrade into.
And Mick, Riley Hardiman's a Swan Districts boy, so
yes, sir.
So you have to jump on him when he's on the bubble. It's almost legally binding for you.
Absolutely.
So just received word, sorry, before we move on to our next question about Libba, from my beautiful co-host over at the Falcon of Footy podcast, new episodes every Tuesday. Chris, he says that he'd be surprised if Libba doesn't play. So if Libba doesn't play this week, then you can blame Chris, but you can head over to Falcon Footy Pod on socials and just absolutely jet him, but also listen to our podcast while you're there.
Next question in the chat comes from Ryan White. He has Sanders, Carroll, D'Ambrosio, Zedwill, and Sharp, and either with high BEs or lower job security. Is it best to chop Carroll and Sanders from that list? Those are the two that I'd move from that list, yes.
Yeah.
Nah, Ben, we want you on. I think we tried to get you in the preseason, didn't quite match up, and then you were at the cricket when I reached out the other time. So we definitely want you on. We just got to work out a time that works for both of us. Oh, he's got a question that we're actually going to talk about later, but if you missed out on Gorn's VC score, who would you see this week? Butters or Sarong?
Who would miss out on Gorn's VC score?
tell him the story, Clarky.
I was procrastinating about my trades all week, undid my trades, and forgot that it also resets your captains because I did it in a hurry. My trades are correct. I've still got Gorn, but I had the VC on him previously, and now I do not. And then I got punished for it emotionally.
I do want to give out Corey Blackledge a bit of a shout out. Last week, I believe he was one of 8 people in the Supercoach world that captained Dan Houston, and he scored 144.
That's huge, and I love it.
All right. Well, with Ben's question, make sure you go and check out Supercoach Insider. They do some great stuff. Swizz, Chris, and Ben over there. Go and check them out. Give them a subscribe. Let's talk about C and VC. So if you didn't VC Gorn and you don't have that locked in, who are the next best options? And we'll start with the VC options. Clarky, what are you doing with your VC this week?
We spoke about it a little bit in the pre-show, but Horse and I were talking about Dan Houston going up against St. Kilda. St. Kilda gave up a lot of points to halfbacks, and he could go big again. And look, we've said this on the mailbag this year. Sometimes your VC is kind of just to have a bit of fun with it and just take a punt on someone who seems likely to reach a ceiling score before putting your C on someone a bit safer. So I like Houston. Nick Dacos also in the... 30 minutes from now, the Anzac game against Essendon. I don't know. He's kind of due, Nick Dacos, isn't he?
Yeah,
Dacos, even Merritt from this game, if you're a Merritt owner, he's a VC option. Even Nick Martin might be a VC option as well if you want to roll that dice. Mm-hmm. Lockie Neal against the Giants is one to have a look at. So is Tom Green against Brisbane as well, but he might... have Josh Dunkley following close behind him in this game. So, and he hasn't been traveling all that great. You've already mentioned Dan Houston. People who are jumping on Jordan Dawson, he does go up against North. So he could be a VC option for those who are still owning him or have jumped on him. What about captaincy options for later in the round? What do you guys have lined up there?
I'm trying to remember who's playing later.
I'm sticking with Maxi Gorn as my VC. But if we're talking about the last three games of the round, I would back in Marcus Bontempelli against a smaller Fremantle midfield. He tends to dominate smaller midfields that he comes up against. I think Matt Rowell against West Coast without Harley Reid. Yes, he'll have to battle against Elliot Yeo, but he could go really large against West Coast on the Gold Coast. And Isaac Heaney against Hawthorn could be a really good shout too.
I'd just like to say that Freo's midfield isn't actually that small compared to the Western Bulldogs now that they've got Fife and Young going through there. So,
is Young all good, Damo?
Pardon? Yeah, Young wasn't on the injury report and had a full complement of training this week. So he's all sweet there.
He just means small emotionally because you lost the last few games.
We don't talk about last week. There wasn't football last week. Sarong, Bont, or I'd probably go with Bont out of that game, to be completely honest. Matt Rowell is another one, as you mentioned. Isaac Heaney against Hawthorn is another one that you could potentially have a look at.
Dare I say it, Damo? Harry Mackay. The ultimate caption option.
Do you know what he averages against Geelong in his last 7 games?
I don't know. It's probably not good.
44.
That's good. That's good for me. That's fine.
perfect captaincy score.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sam Walsh, though, is probably the other one. Of course, you were talking about his consistency at the G over the last few games. Absolutely. I feel like that could be a reasonably comfortable for him, but probably not over any of the other guys. If you've got Bont, go Bont.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And before we go, what are your tips for today's games?
Essendon just Zaharakis to kick the goal on the siren. Flagged ons. No, I, as an Essendon supporter, I think Collingwood by a goal.
I have tipped Collingwood by 15, I think.
Yeah, Collingwood by a couple of goals is my tip. I'd love Essendon to get up, though. I think that would be awesome.
This is one of those weird tips where no matter which way it goes now, I win.
And Giants Brisbane at Manuka Oval. Who wins that game?
I think Giants.
Brisbane. I'm going Brisbane.
Yeah, I'm tipping Giants, but I've got a weird feeling that Brisbane might pull something out of the hat.
Toby Green's out. Is that right?
Toby Green.
Yes. Yeah, no out. Toby Green, yeah. No Cornelio. Hopefully Taylor's back because that concussion looked really nasty the week before.
Josh Kelly season.
And there's one more from Brent Daniels. He's out as well.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, I might have to change my tip then.
Brisbane, like if Brisbane were going to get another win on the board, this is the week to do it. And hopefully for Ben, who I know is in the live chat, hopefully they get a win for him this week. And that's it for this episode of the Footy Mailbag. Mick, thanks for coming on again and being here for the live recording.
No worries at all. Thank you for the invite. I appreciate being here.
Clarkie, thank you again.
Always a pleasure, boss.
If you haven't given us a rating on your listening platform of choice, make sure you do so. It helps with the algorithms and helps people find us. And make sure you check out Supercoach Rings at supercoachchampion.com to get a Super Bowl style ring for the league winner of your league. And we'll talk next time.